That we're mindless?
Yeah.
In what way?
Well, acting without discrimination.
Well, I'll put it another way, just like recently, on the airplane actually, I met one man. He said, you're all very irresponsible. You know, you've left the responsibility of your life to just join this movement, and because you couldn't be successful in the material world. Have you ever heard this argument? You know, you left the material world because you couldn't be successful, so you've just joined this movement, which is a parasite on society. I said, sir, I said, the real fact is that nobody can be successful in this world because everyone has to die. So actually, we have the real mind. We have the mind and intelligence. Sometimes those words are interchanged. A good mind or a good intelligence. So what does real intelligence mean? Prabhupada's definition of intelligence is to put things in their proper perspective. Just like yesterday with one little girl at the, we had a little darshan for the kids the other day. What was her name, the little blonde-haired girl? She's the daughter of the headmaster.
Usha.
So whenever I ask for a verse, you know, give me a verse about material nature, you know, Mahadakshini, Prakriti, Suyutesh. Give me a verse about the soul, Deinos, Minibahe. Give me a verse about Krishna, Hamsa, Vashapau. Whenever I ask anything, she had the verse right there. So that's intelligence. Intelligence means to be able to understand and see things as they are. To put things in their proper perspective. That's intelligence. So, devotee, he actually puts things in their proper perspective because he sees the material world as it is, a place of misery and suffering. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaragito arjuna mamopetyati kuntiya punarjanma nividyate. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery, repeated birth and death take place. So isn't it more intelligent to renounce that which is the source of suffering than to foolishly go on in material existence? What is that saying they have? Well, that's one. That's not the one I was thinking of. Anyway, I'll use something else. Fools rush in where angels fear to get. So, material life, is just so if one can actually realize and give it up, he's the most intelligent. Not one who foolishly goes on trying to struggle to be happy. So actually, devotees have the real minds. They have the real intelligence because they've renounced this material world and they've taken up Krishna. As Narottam Das Thakur aptly put it, very humbly in the position of a materialist, here I am in the middle of a holocaust trying to enjoy myself. So isn't it more intelligent to walk out, give it up, rather than stay and burn? Any other questions? Well, in the beginning, it may be that we can be engaged according to our guna and karma, according to our propensity. But, like I said the other day, there are transcendental activities which are a special concession for this age, which elevate us very quickly, like chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. But whatever we're engaged in, according to our nature or doing any other particular type of service, we can make gradual advancement, we can make progress if we stick to the process. Bhaiyavad, he's an atheist. Accept the forms of the deities in the temple of the Lord as idols. But devotees do not worship idols. They directly worship the personality of Godhead in his Arsha incarnation. Arsha refers to the form which we can worship in our present condition. Actually, in our present state, it is not possible to see God in his spiritual form because our material eyes and senses cannot conceive of a spiritual form. We cannot even see the spiritual form of the individual soul. When a man dies, we cannot see how the spiritual form leaves the body. That is the defect of our material senses. In order to be seen by our material senses, the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts a favorable form, which is called Archa-Vigraha. This Archa-Vigraha, sometimes called the Archa-Incarnation, is not different from him. Just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts various incarnations, he takes on forms made out of matter, such as clay, wood, metal, and jewels. There are many Shastric injunctions which give instructions for carving forms of the Lord. These forms are not material. If God is all-pervading, then he is also in the material elements. There is no doubt about it. But the atheists think otherwise. Although they preach that everything is God, when they go to the temple and see the form of the Lord, they deny that he is God. According to their own theory, everything is God. Then why is the deity not God? Actually, they have no conception of God. The devotee's vision, however, is different. Their vision is spirit with love of God. As soon as they see the Lord in his different forms, the devotees become saturated with love, and they do not find any difference between the Lord and his form in the temple, as do the atheists. The smiling face of the deity in the temple is beheld by the devotees as transcendental and spiritual, and the decoration of the body of the Lord is very much appreciated by the devotees. It is the duty of the spiritual master to teach how to decorate the deity in the temple, how to cleanse the temple, and how to worship the deity. There are different procedures and rules and regulations which are followed in the temples of Vishnu, and devotees go there and see the deity, the Vigraha, and spiritually enjoy the form because all of the deities are benevolent. The devotees express their minds before the deity, and in many instances the deity also gives answers. But one must be a very elevated devotee in order to be able to speak with the Supreme Lord. Sometimes the Lord informs the devotees through dreams. These exchanges of feelings between the deity and the devotee are not understandable by atheists, but actually the devotee enjoys them. Kapila Muni is explaining how the devotees see the decorated body and face of the deity and how they speak with him in devotional service. Om Agyanti Manandasya Ginangina Shulakaya Chakshuru Militam Genatasmai Sigurdave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shwayam Rupakada Mayam Vedanti Svabhanantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakti Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama O my mother, my devotees always see the smiling face of my form with eyes like the rising morning sun. They like to see my various transcendental forms, which are all benevolent, and they also talk favorably with me. So, it is stated in the Vedic scriptures, Prasya Shaktira Vivitaiva Shruyate, that the Lord is the source of all energies. Actually, he's the source of unlimited energies, but those energies can be divided into three basic categories: the spiritual energy, the material energy, and the marginal energy. The spiritual energy, of course, is the spiritual world of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then there is the material energy, which the Lord describes in Bhagavad Gita to be one quarter of his creation. And then there is the marginal energy, which is the living entity. So the Vedic scriptures describe that the spiritual energy, of course, is non-different than the Lord, but also the material energy is non-different from the Lord in that it is his energy. In other words, Krishna is in control of this material energy. Maya dakshena prakriti suyute sacharacharam. This material energy is working under his direction. And because it comes from him, in that sense, it is to be considered non-different than him. But as we were discussing yesterday, we support the philosophy of achinta peda peda tattva, simultaneous oneness and difference. When we speak of the sun, we speak of the sun planet, we speak of the deity in the sun, and we also speak of the energy of the sun rays. For example, I can say now, the sun is shining in this room, and that is true. But is the sun planet in this room? Certainly not. If the sun planet were in this room, we would all be dissolved into nothing immediately. So the rays of the sun and the sun, they are the same in quality. The rays of the sun are in quantity just like the sun. But you cannot say that the rays of the sun are the sun itself. There's a difference. There's a simultaneous oneness and difference. The energy has the same qualities as the energetic, but the energy can never become the energetic. Altogether, they constitute the sun, the deity of the sun planet, Vivishwan, the sun planet itself, and the rays of the sun. They are simultaneously one and different. So in that sense, everything in God's creation is simultaneously one and different from him. In one sense, we can say everything is God, because everything is the energy of God. But on the other hand, we have to understand that God is a person. And he is existing eternally in his spiritual abode of Goloka Vrindavan. So we cannot actually say that a stone is God, or a tree is God, or a pole is God. In one sense, we can say, because the energy is non-different than the energetic, in one sense. But in another sense, they are different. So actually, Krishna consciousness is the perfect, complete philosophy, because we accept all three phases of the Absolute Truth, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. That yes, the Lord has his impersonal feature, his energies, everywhere. But what is the source of those energies? Every energy has a source. So what is the source of that energy? Aham savasya pavavo matta sarva palartate ite marte padam samarpitam. Krishna says that I am the source of the material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. So Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is the source of the Brahman, the energy, his personal effulgence. He's the source of the Paramatma. So in that sense, we can understand that everything has its connection with the Supreme Lord. So everything is God, yes, but simultaneously everything is not God, because God is a person. So, the devotees of the Lord, they desire to behold a transcendental form of the Lord. That is their heartfelt desire. We cannot actually have a relationship with this dead material energy. We want to love God. That is our original position, to be lovers of God. We want to love God. And what does love mean? Love means an exchange of service. If you love someone, that means you exchange with that person. If I have a friend, our relationship is not inactive, it's an active. Why is someone my friend? Because we enjoy different relationships. We like doing this together, we like doing that together, we have different things we like to do. What is the essential ingredient of a loving relationship? That the lovers exchange sentiments, they exchange feelings, they exchange desires. If someone loves a boy or someone loves a girl, it's not simply that they just simply sit there and that's it. The loving relationship is enhanced by the fact that they serve each other. That's the actual meaning of love. Love actually means that I am doing this for your pleasure. That is the true meaning of love. Of course, love is something very hard to find, impossible to find in this material world, unless it is Krishna conscious. So that is the meaning of love, the relationship of service. So can we have a relationship with a dead stone? If we say the stone is God, then what is our relationship with that stone? If we say love, then we have to clarify. Love means service. So how can there be an exchange of love between a stone and a human being? How can there be a relationship of love between a living entity and a table? It is not possible. Although it is the energy of God, it is not God. Simultaneously one and different. But the personality of God, the source of all loving relationships, that is actually what we are searching for. So that is what we are looking for, that type of love, a love of the Supreme Lord. But here we are in the material world, we want to love Krishna. In order to develop our love for Krishna, we have to be able to see Krishna. We have to be able to serve Krishna. We have to be able to reveal our minds to Krishna. So that becomes a very difficult proposal. If you love someone, why do you love them? Because you behold their form. The perverted reflection is lust. So if someone lusts someone, as we say, they have a saying, love makes the world go round. Actually, it's lust. The perverted reflection of love is lust. So when someone says, I love you, that means I lust you. I want from you this sense gratification, and you want from me this sense gratification. And as long as we can satisfy each other's senses, there's so-called love, which is actually lust. But what is the impetus of that loving exchange? The form, the words, the dress, everything that personal about that person is the impetus for exchanging a relationship. So therefore, the devotees of the Lord, in the conditioned state of material existence, especially the neophyte devotee, they very much need to see the form of the Lord to increase their love for Him. They need to see the Lord's transcendental beauty, His eyes like the rising morning sun, His beautiful peacock feather. They need to see this in order to develop their love. That is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Why it is superior to the other religions. Why is that? Because they are speaking of God, but they have no conception of what is God. So without a conception of God, how can they actually, on the basis of what will they develop their emotions and feelings and sentiments, original emotions and feelings and sentiments for Krishna? God, that's like a title or something, like a position. God means the supreme controller. But who is the person who is the supreme controller? Who is the personality of Godhead? That is Krishna. Just like you have here in this country, you have a president. What is his name?
Prime Minister.
Prime Minister, I'm sorry. What is Hawk. So Prime Minister Hawk. So Prime Minister is the position. But who is the personality who holds the position? Mr. Hawk. So everyone is speaking of God this, God that, love God, but what is it that we love about God? His form, his transcendental activities, his pastimes, the spiritual world, his devotees, so many things about the personality. So the devotees are always hankering very much, being Vaishnavas, not being interested in merging into the impersonal Brahman, not desiring to become one with the Lord, but desiring to serve the Lord in a loving transcendental relation. So the devotees very much desire to behold that transcendental form of Krishna and engage their senses in the process of devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, the Lord exhibits the form of Arsha Vigraha. Actually, the definition of Arsha Vigraha means the mercy incarnation of the Lord. Because we cannot see Krishna with our present senses. Our present senses are covered by matter. We cannot behold the transcendental form of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord, out of His mercy, He appears in that material energy as the Arsha Vigraha. The Lord is the source of all energies. Therefore, He can change matter into spirit and spirit into matter as He desires. Just like an expert electrician, he's using the energy of electricity. So he can use that same electricity to turn something hot or to turn something cold, according to his desire. So similarly, the Supreme Lord, although this is the material energy, and the energy is not ultimately the energetic, nonetheless, by the Lord's inconceivable power, He can change the material energy into spiritual. And to accept God means to accept the inconceivable potencies of God. Otherwise, we can't even speak of God. If we limit God to our own conceptions, then that is not God. God means inconceivable.
Achinta. He is inconceivable. So the Lord, out of his inconceivable mercy, he appears in so-called material elements. And the devotees understand by the Lord's inconceivable potency, that deity formed the Lord is not different than Krishna, because it is authorized. That is the principle of deity worship. What is the difference between deity worship and idol worship? Because deity worship is authorized. With the Israelites, when they carved the form of the golden calf and began to worship it as God, and the Lord became very angry with them, that was because it was idol worship. Idol worship means to worship something material according to one's mental speculation. I think God is like this, or maybe God is like that, or perhaps God is like that. That is mental speculation. So they, you know, with their brains, they simply thought up some wonderful form and began to worship it as God. So it's not that one can take anything and everything and worship it as God. The description of the form of God and the process of deity worship is given in revealed scripture. And if we take a material element, such as marble or wood, or we take paint or jewels or clay or whatever it may be, and we carve that according to the forms which are given in revealed scripture, and then we install that deity as the Lord desires it to be installed, as revealed in the scripture, then the Lord, he accepts that form. He incarnates into that form to accept the service of his devotee. Deity worship means to worship something material. So the materialists are always accusing us of being idol worshippers. But what does idol worshipper mean? Idol worshipper means to worship what is material. So who is the real idol worshippers? They are the idol worshippers, because they worship the body. They worship the body of their friends, their relatives, their loved ones, the movie stars. There's even a word in the theater on idol, isn't it? He's my idol. This movie star, this rock star, he's an idol. So who is the idol worshipper? They even say it themselves. They're proud of it. They're worshipping the idols. But we are worshipping the spiritual form of the Lord. Because for the Lord, there's no difference between matter and spirit. Again, he can change one into the other. So the Lord, he accepts the form of the Arsha Vigraha so that his devotees can worship him. And the form of the Lord on the altar is not different than the Lord in the spiritual world. That is to be understood. There's no difference between Lord Krishna and Radharani here and Lord Krishna and Radharani in the spirit. It's not a representation. Like sometimes the Christians, they ask, is this a representation of Krishna? No, it's not a representation of Krishna. It's not different than the Lord is not different than his Arjuna Vigraha form. So this is so the neophyte devotees can accept the process of Arjuna Vigraha, or worshipping the Lord in the temple. Of course, those who are generally accusing us of idol worship are the Christians. But they often forget that the Lord is inconceivable. He can appear in any way he wishes. And even in their biblical tradition, the Lord appeared in many wonderful ways. For instance, he appeared before Moses as a burning bush. Isn't it? Those of you who have biblical training, you know that the Lord actually spoke to Moses in the form of a burning bush. So quite often when I speak with the Christians and they say, you're worshipping idols, just stones. And I say, well, if we're idols, if we're worshipping statues, then you're worshipping bushes. And you're bush worshippers. Because didn't the Lord appear as a blazing bush to Moses? Yes. So then, do you accept that or not accept that? If you don't accept that, then you're not a real Christian, because the Christians all accept that the Lord appeared as a burning bush. So then you're bush worshippers. No, we're not bush worshippers. The Lord appeared. So then we're not idol worshippers, because if the Lord can appear in the material element of fire, then why can't he appear in the material element of marble? And what qualifies deity worship is that the Lord, by his mercy, agrees to appear in that way. So you can't concoct the form of God. You have to accept how God wants to appear himself. If you want to worship God in the form of a stone, then you have to worship Krishna Balaram, Radha Govardhandari, and Shishi Gurdasai. But is it a stone? No, it's not. It may appear to a stone as a stone to someone with material vision. But those who have knowledge of Shastra, and we should see things through Shastra. It is said that a saintly person, he sees through his ears, not through his eyes. What you can understand with these eyes, the sense of seeing is so limited. But you can understand things perfectly through hearing through your ears. So we hear about the Lord appearing in the form of the deity through the revealed scripture, through the spiritual master, then we can appreciate it. And Prabhupada said that even the devotees, if you see this form as brass, it will remain brass to you forever. But if you try to see the Lord through the process of devotional service, you try to see Krishna, to serve Krishna, to worship Krishna through the process of devotional service, then Prabhupada said one day this deity will speak to you. And there are instances where Prabhupada said the Lord has actually spoken to elevated devotees. Because an elevated devotee, he knows there's no difference between the Archivigraha and the Lord himself in Goloka Vrindavan. So there are many instances actually where the Lord has spoken to his devotee, either as the deity or sometimes in dreams. But that's a very elevated stage of Krishna consciousness. Until we get to that stage of Krishna consciousness, we cannot be sahaja and think Krishna is speaking to us. But we should accept that the Lord is not different than his form, and we should treat him accordingly. Krishna has come. We've invited Krishna to come to the temple, along with his eternal consort, Srimata Radharani, and his brother, Lord Balaram, and in their incarnation as Gauri Pai. And we must be very careful that now they have come, we have invited them, we must take very good care of them. And how to take care of them, that is all described in the revealed scriptures, particularly in the Nectar of Devotion. There is description of what to do and what not to do. So we cannot take deity worship lightly. It's a very serious affair. And we can make much progress in Krishna consciousness by having this wonderful opportunity to associate with Krishna daily. Every day we come before the Lord, we see his transcendental form, we're actually cooking for his transcendental senses and purifying our conditioned senses. We're offering him so many articles every day through Arti. We're coming together, hearing about him, glorifying him in his temple room. So we can make so much progress. Actually, that's why deity worship is there. Deity worship is there for the neophyte devotee to fix his mind on the transcendental form of the Lord, because it's so easy for the mind to become deviated by the material energy. It is so easy. Therefore, we stated earlier, that's the duty of the pujaris to dress the deity so wonderfully that the devotee will not be again attracted to the external energy. Deity worship is so wonderful. Instead of decorating ourselves in nice clothes and ornaments and becoming more entangled in material existence, the same propensity is used to decorate the deity. And if we decorate the deity very beautifully, we'll never be interested in material affairs, material activities. So, deity worship is especially meant for the neophyte devotees, to help them fix their senses and engage their senses in the transcendental service of the Lord. But because the deity is non-different than the Supreme Lord, that doesn't mean that one gives up the process of deity worship at some stage, like the Mayavadis. The Mayavadis, it's very difficult for them to fix their mind on something formless. Therefore, they take a so-called form of the Lord, they worship it, and when they're finished worshiping, when they go beyond form, they throw the form away. But we know that the form of the Lord is eternal. The form of Radha Govardhanadari is actually an eternal form. So we don't worship the deity at one point and then, you know, throw the deity. This is impersonal philosophy. To take the form and then to throw it away. This impersonalism exists throughout the Mayavadi philosophy. Even the form of the spiritual master, even they're worshipping the spiritual master, just see how rascal they are. They worship the guru, they worship the deity, for what? To become better than guru, better than deity. That's how rascal they are. They worship the guru, and they worship the Lord. What is their intention? To become Lord. One time Srila Prabhupada was walking with the devotees in Mayapur, and he went over a little rise like that. So, in order to help himself down that little hill like that, he grabbed the arm of the devotee. So the devotee was in ecstasy. Well, Prabhupada is taking my help. So they're walking down like that. And when they got down to the bottom, Prabhupada violently threw that devotee's arm to the side and knocked the devotee over to the side. What is this? Prabhupada was taking my help and now he's thrown me away. So then Prabhupada stopped and he said, This is the Mayavadis. He said they take help of Guru, and when they become equal to Guru, or equal to Krishna, they no longer need the spiritual master, they no longer need the deity, then they cast it away, they throw it away. This is the impersonalist. They want to, in other words, because ultimately everything is impersonal, whatever has form is only utilized for some time and then it's thrown away. So just see their thoughts. But a devotee will never think like that. Because he eternally takes shelter. Janme janme prabhu se, of the spiritual master and the Lord. And it's the duty of the spiritual master to train the disciple in the process of deity worship. Shri Graha Radhanani. The duty of the spiritual master. The neophyte, the mercy of the Lord, he has appeared before the neophyte to purify his senses by engaging in the service of Krishna. The term to touch the form is to touch the form of Krishna. To cook is to cook for Krishna's senses. To dress is to dress the original form of the Lord. So this is all very new to the neophyte. So, but the spiritual master, he is the liberated soul. He is seeing that the deity is not different than the Lord. He knows in the advanced elevated stage, when one is a purity devotee, a paramahansa, he can actually speak. So it's not that when one comes to that stage, he gives up the process of deity worship because it's for neophytes. No. He relishes more and more and more engaging in the service of the Lord in the temple. And we've actually seen how Srila Prabhupada himself, one of Prabhupada's major contributions to the Western world, was the deity worship. Prabhupada said that Lord Jesus, he paved the way for Lord Jagannath. Lord Jesus preached the personal conception of God, although he didn't reveal the form of God. So that by the time that Lord Jagannath came, people could accept him as the personality of God, because they had a personal understanding of God. Therefore, when God finally arrived as the personality of Godhead, they could accept the deity worship. So Srila Prabhupada personally installed so many deities of the Lord all over the world. And he also instructed in his absence that his disciples, and then eventually their disciples also, install the deity of the Lord to give people the opportunity to approach the personality of God and render him personal service. And one can also go before the deity and reveal one's mind. That is the purpose of deity worship too. Because Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Mandyam, etc. The nine process, one of the processes of devotional service is to pray to the Lord. So we can go before the deity and we can pray to the deity to help us advance in Krishna consciousness. And in some stages, the elevated state of the deity will also talk. Just like Shanatan Goswami, Shanakan Goswami, he was worshipping Madan Mohan, his little deity of Krishna, and he would travel with him because he was a sannyasi. He didn't have any particular temple at one point. So he used to carry his deity around with him in a box. So Prabhupada calls this the Lord in the box. He said, the Lord is the greatest of the great. We can't even imagine how great is Krishna. But he's so great that he becomes just small enough to fit into the box of his devotees. He's greater than every Brahma. What relationship you can have with the universal form? Very difficult to love the universal form. The Lord is so great. His greatness is that he becomes smaller than the smallest. He's greater than the greatest, and he's simultaneously smaller than the smallest. So just to reciprocate loving exchanges with his devotees, that huge universal conception of the Supreme Lord as the absolute everything, he becomes just tiny nothing. He can go in a little box, and his devotee can carry him. So Prabhupada said in India, there are many sadhus who carry the Lord in the box, and every day they worship him in the morning and offer him various foodstuffs and transcendental services like this. So Sanatana Goswami, he had his deity of Madan Mohan, so he was traveling with him, but he was a poor sannyasi, so sometimes he could only offer the Lord what he had. He could only offer the Lord actually what he had. So sometimes he was offering the Lord chapatis, but there wasn't any salt. So one time his deity said to him, Madan Mohan said to his Sanatana Goswami, my dear Sanatana, he said, you are offering me these dry chapatis. Can't you at least offer a little salt? The Sanatana Goswami replied, my dear Lord, he said, I'm offering you the best I can. I don't have any salt. So this way the Lord was enjoying a transcendental reciprocation with the Lord. So of course that is a very elevated, what we would call, spontaneous devotional service. So we can't be like that. We can't come before Radha Govardhanadari and say, well, we just spaced out the day, we forgot the sugar, and, no. At the stage that we're in, Vaidhi Bhakti, at the beginning stages of devotional service, we have to follow very strictly all the rules and regulations, otherwise we become guilty of offense. And Prabhupada has given us this process of deity worship to liberate us from material existence, develop our love for God. So especially in deity worship, we have to be very, very attentive to the detail. And Prabhupada said one time that detail is a sign of love. Therefore, we can't just think, we're doing the basic things and, we don't have time for the details. Krishna has come out of his love. He's come from Goloka Vrindavan. He's staying in our temple, his temple. He's here. It's our duty to make sure that he is given, according to Srila Prabhupada, who knows Krishna perfectly and knows what Krishna wants, and the various Vaishnavacharyas, as they've given details in the real scripture. It's very important that we do follow all the details of devotional service. And we do become very careful, we are very careful not to avoid the offenses. Otherwise, we will not make progress in devotional service. Seva aparat. Making offenses in deity worship is a very serious affair. So we must know the offenses as they are given in nectar of devotion. We must study these offenses, not just in the bhakti program. Because if we make these offenses, we will not advance in Krishna consciousness. And we must be attentive to the detail of the deity worship. There are so many details mentioned in the revealed scriptures of how to worship the Lord. And all those details must be executed. And then we'll actually have the full benefit of the deity worship. So those who are atheists, those who are agnostics, they cannot appreciate the process. They cannot understand how the deity can actually talk to his devotee. How the deity can be benevolent to his devotee. As it's mentioned here specifically, that the deity is very sprihaniyam. He is very favorable. And he is very varapatani. He's very benevolent. You can see the deities are very benevolent. Kornitaya raising their hands, chant Hare Krishna. Radharani is offering her blessings. Krishna and Balaram are inviting us into their transcendental pastime. The deity is a very benevolent form of the Lord. We can come before the deity and expect the Lord's mercy in that way. And the Lord can give us guidance in our devotional service. The Lord can even walk for his devotee. Just like there's that pastime of Sakshi Gopal. Sakshi Gopal means the witness deity. Once there was a Brahmana, he desired to go to Vrindavan. But he was an old man, so it was a very troublesome journey. So one young Brahmana, he offered his help to the old man to go to Vrindavan, because by serving a Brahmana and devotee, again, one makes spiritual advancement. So the Brahmana was very eager to serve the older man. So together they made a journey to Vrindavan. And along the way, the younger Brahmana was rendering so much service and so forth. So when they got to Vrindavan, then the older Brahmana felt very much obliged, so he said to the younger Brahmana, I would like to give you my daughter in charity. So this younger Brahmana was a little bit surprised because he wasn't such a well-educated Brahmana. He wasn't so well-trained and well-versed in scripture. So he thought, well, this man is of a higher Brahminical caste, so will he actually give? So he said, I will accept that, but I want you to promise in front of the deity. Because in India, people they have so much faith in the process, not like the Westerners, the Malaychas and the Yavanas, who can't understand the process of deity worship. In India, if something's to be decided, if there's an argument between two people, they'll go to the village deity, and in front of the deity, they'll make their statement, and no one would dare lie in front of the deity. Therefore, that is the perfect system, God consciousness. So it also performs a perfect judicial system. People would go before the deity, and then in front of the deity, they'd have to make their statement, and no one would dare lie in front of the deity. So this Brahmana, the older Brahmana, the younger, they went before the deity, and the older Brahmana said, my dear Lord, I am promising this younger Brahmana that I will give my daughter to him in marriage. You are the witness. So,
it was stated, and they went back to, well, it was actually near, I think, the Jagannath Puri area they must have lived. So they went back to their village, and then time went on, and then when the members of the family of the elder Brahmin heard that they wanted to give the family daughter to this younger Brahmin, they became very disturbed, especially the older son. He said, "My sister to be given to this Brahmin doesn't even know how to read or write, no way." He was very upset. So they put pressure. The wife said, "If you give my daughter away, I'll commit suicide." So in this way, the elder Brahmin, he was very confused because he had made a promise to a younger Brahmin. But at the same time, he didn't want to disappoint his family members. So what to do? So he was forced to state in public, along with the members of his family, that actually the younger Brahmana had given him some type of a drug and made him say all kinds of things and so forth and so on, and just took advantage of him. And this actually, this whole story wasn't true. So then the younger Brahmana, who had great faith in the personality of God, he went back to the original temple where the promise was made. And he said, "My dear Lord, you are my witness. You have witnessed how the Brahmana has made this promise, and now you have to help him. You have to come to my rescue." So the deity spoke to him. The deity said, "My dear Brahmana, because you are my pure devotee, certainly I will stand as your witness. So you walk out of this temple, and I will actually follow you back to that, your home village, and I will stand as your witness." The boy was very surprised. "Oh, my dear Lord, you stand as witness?" He said, "But how will you walk?" The deity said, "I can speak, so I can also walk." So he said, "You just turn and you start walking in that direction, and I will follow you. But there's one condition. Don't look back. Because as soon as you look back, then I will stop." So right then and there, the boy, he left the temple and he began walking. And sure enough, behind him he could hear, tingle, 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 tingle. He could hear the ankle bells of the deity. You see, Govardhanadhari has nice ankle. So they began walking, and all along the way, he could hear the tinkling of the ankle bells of the deity like that. So just they almost got to the village, and he just couldn't contain himself anymore, the young Brahmin boy. So he looked behind, and sure enough, there was Sakshi Gopal. There was the deity. The deity actually walked all the way across India to his village. So the boy ran into town, and he gathered all the people, and all the people came forward, and they saw that actually the Lord had come. Actually, the condition that the family had made is that if you actually made a promise in front of if the promise was made in front of the deity, then we'll only believe it if we see the deity, if the deity comes as the witness. So the boy went, and he brought the deity back, so all the people, and that was, they were satisfied in that way. So this is a true story. And actually, you can go to India today and you can see Sakshi Gopal, the witness deity, near Jagannath Puri. You can actually go and see the deity who walked and stood witness for his devotee. There's many instances, just like in Vrindavan, there's many instances of the deities having transcendental reciprocation with their devotees. There's one deity called, what's that deity? One of the more famous deities. They open the curtain and close it.
Bhangavihari.
Yes, Bunky Vihari was a deity who was installed in a temple in Vrindavan. And one day, a great devotee of the Lord came to see that deity, and the Lord was so attracted by the devotional service of his devotee that he started to walk off the altar to follow him. So the pujaris became very nervous, and they put the deity back in, and they closed the curtain. So now, because so many pure devotees come to Vrindavan, that is the abode of devotional service, so many great Vaishnavas come to Vrindavan, the tradition is that the curtain is only open for a few moments and it's closed, in case Monkey Bihari finds another devotee who wants to walk out of the altar. So, and let's see, there's other instances also of the deities. Well, we know in Chaitanya Charitamrita there's instances of Lord Jagannath revealing himself in a dream. And then, of course, there's the deity of Kishirakori Gopinath. Shirakori Gopinath, Madhavendra Puri, who had actually experienced the topmost understanding of pure love of God. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Madhavendra Puri,
and Srimati Radharani, they alone can understand this topmost prema for Lord Krishna. So Madhavendra Puri, he introduced that understanding into, after Chaitanya, or before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he introduced this understanding of pure prema love for God. So, one time, well, quite a long story actually, how the Lord desired some sandalwood paste for his body to cool it after Madhavendra Puri had discovered his deity in the bushes near Vrindavan. His deity requested that he be given some sandalwood paste, which could only be had near at Jagannath Puri, where they were worshipping the deity of Lord Jagannath. So Madhavendra Puri made a very difficult journey across India. He secured sandalwood paste. On his way back, then another deity, Kishira Kaura Gopinath, he said to the Lord of the Dream, that I am the same deity that you had in Vrindavan. All my forms are non-different. So you can simply offer me the sandalwood paste here and I will be satisfied. So the Lord, or rather Madhavendra Puri, offered that sandalwood paste to that deity and the camphor, etc. And then he went to see the arti of the Lord, or the offering, and he was thinking that they were offering such nice sweet rice, nice cure to that deity. He was thinking that, I wonder what it tastes like, because I'd like to offer it to my deity back in Vrindavan. And as he was thinking like that, he became very ashamed, because he thought, now I have enjoyed the offering before the deity has accepted it. So this is a great offense. So he felt very ashamed like that, so he left the temple. But the Lord, in order to enjoy a transcendental reciprocation with his pure devotee, Madhavendra Puri, he hid some sweet rice under his skirt. And when the pujari came, or rather the pujari took rest that night, the deity revealed himself in a dream to the pujari that I have kept this pot of sweet rice for my devotee, Madhavendra Puri. So you please wake up, come take it from under my skirt, and you find Madhavendra Puri and you give him this sweet rice. So again, here is the Lord having transcendental exchanges with his devotees. The Lord is not a stone, he is the Supreme Lord. And we can all enjoy, even in the neophyte stage, a wonderful reciprocation with the Lord by hearing about his transcendental glories and chanting and dancing in his temple room, and being very attentive in the worship of the Lord according to the details of revealed scripture. Actually, we visited this. Have any of you been there to Kishira Kaura Gopinath, that temple?
I haven't.
You have been?
Oh.
We went there last year. We went there a couple of times, actually. The first time we went there, you know, because generally, in a particular temple, there's some special characteristic of the Lord, or some special preparation of the Lord. Just like here, you are very fortunate that you have a very special form of Krishna Balaram. I think there's only four sets of deities in the movement of Krishna and Balaram. Here, Krishna is lifting the Govardhan Hill. The other places, he has this flute, like with his flute. But here, he's like this with his flute. But here, Krishna is lifting the Govardhan Hill. So this is a special impetus for devotees to come to your community. Each community, and with their deity worship, there's some special characteristic, some famous preparation they offer there. I know in the Laguna Beach, they're famous for their offering of khichdi to the deities there. So many devotees around America, they go to Laguna Beach just to taste that khichdi offered to the deities. In this way, there's special characteristics. Devotees like to see the Lord in his various transcendental forms, and that's why the Lord appears in different ways throughout the world, to give his devotees the impetus to come and take his darshan and get his benevolent grace. So I'm sure as the years go on and your community becomes famous, people will come here to see the beautiful form of Radha Krishna. This is a special arrangement here. I hardly know of so many temples that have three sets of deities like this, and so beautiful deities. And so anyway, at Remuna, Kishira Kaura Gopinath, everyone goes there from all over India to taste that kheer. It is so wonderful, and it's the same recipe that it was 500 years ago when Madhavendra Puri went there. But they keep it a secret. It's very difficult to know that recipe. So therefore devotees keep coming. So I went there with one godmother, Dagopal, and we went to great difficulty to get there, because it was very austere, the trains were all booked, and you know, we had to in the third class compartment, then we had to walk because we had enough money for a taxi. Finally, we made it there. We were thinking all along the way how we will taste the kheer of Gopinath. And this is just Krishna's trick to engage us in intensely thinking of him more and more because he makes nice kiras for Sodom. We're thinking for weeks, we want to take the kira, but we don't want to do it this way. Instead of thinking of Maya, we're thinking of Krishna's kira, Krishna's sweets. Like that, the great trouble we got there. And then they were doing the morning puja as we walked in. And at this temple, they liked the ISKCON devotees very much. So we were immediately invited in to watch the puja. So generally you know that when the puja is performed, or the bathing is performed, the bathing ceremony, the curtains are closed. But that day, as we were, they opened the curtain, and then there was arati, and somehow or other, the pujari forgot to close the curtain. So he took the clothes off the deity. And generally you can only see the face of Gopinath. You can just see his face and his flute. He's a relief deity, a relief deity, carved in one piece of black stone. Very, very, very old deity. So the pujari, he forgot to close the curtain. So we got to see the whole form of Kashira Kauri Gopinath. And we were sitting there chanting our rounds for about 45 minutes. All of a sudden the pujari realized that he'd forgotten to close the curtain. So instead of becoming flustered and angry, he turned to us and he said, "Oh, Gopinath has been very merciful to you."